Thank you for coming. What a great group on a New Year's Eve here. Thank you for this. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go ahead and invite you to turn to John chapter 10. We are going to be in John chapter 10. For those who don't know me, let me introduce myself. My name is Adam Creel, and I have the privilege of serving here on staff with Daryl and Philip, and just grateful to be here this morning with you. All right, so a show of hands real quick. How many of you have already packed up your Christmas stuff? Wow, a few of you, that's good. How many of you will still be up in February? Shame on you people, gosh. No, it needs to come down. No. Christmas, I hope everyone had a great Christmas and enjoyed family, enjoyed the traditions, enjoyed all the food, enjoyed watching maybe some little ones open some presents, and maybe you even got a present yourself. Christmas is just sort of a fun time of year, isn't it? And just something special about something in the air at Christmas. But what I want to do is Daryl has led us over the last 4 weeks of looking at the wonder of Christmas. I can remember as a kid, yes, I enjoyed Christmas. My parents are here this morning, and I can remember, you know, Christmases in Kansas City where we had snow on the ground and a little bitty Christmas tree, and that was about it. But you know, Christmas is fun. But I also remember as the Christmas story was being told, thinking about the shepherds. Just odd. Why would Jesus, why would God come to such a rough group of people? Now, not only a rough group of people, but people who were outcast, people that nobody wanted to be around. They stank. They were questionable characters. They were not very faithful in their business dealings. And really, their shepherds, they were like, okay, you go out here in the fields and just leave us alone. What even baffled me more, even more, is, okay, the angel comes to these shepherds and then they just leave their sheep to go into town? I mean, what kind of business guy is that? I mean, they just leave everything behind. We're going to get to that in a minute, though. But I think there's a message here for us. I think there's a message in the shepherds because it points us to the good shepherd, doesn't it? It points us to not only the good shepherd, but the great shepherd. Because you see, it was the same fields that we see the shepherds abiding that we see the ancestor of Jesus, David, who is also tending his sheep. This is pointing to Christ. And what I'm going to say is, if you wanted a key point this morning, is Jesus, our good shepherd, came the first Christmas so that we might come to him and have life and life abundant. Don't miss that. Jesus, our good shepherd, came the first Christmas so that we might come to him and have life. I don't know what people are dealing with. It was interesting. We met as a staff just a moment ago, and one of the pastors looked at me and said, man, I don't know, remember a busier time between Christmas and New Year's as our staff than we've had. And it's true. The amount of phone calls, emails that we got this week was just a little unusual. I don't know what you're coming through. You may be a Christian. Hey, I was saved when I was 9 years old, and you may have been a Christian your whole life. You may not have surrendered your life to Jesus, but you need to come to the Good Shepherd. So if you've got your Bibles, John chapter 10, I'm going to read from verses 9 through 18 this morning. Beginning in verse 9, Jesus says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Oh, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Oh, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. For the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Oh, I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, that they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. This charge I received from my Father. This morning, as we look at this passage, I want to point you to the Good Shepherd as the source of abundant life. We're also going to look at not only the source of abundant life, but the character. What does the abundant life look like? And then I also need to point you to the way of the abundant life. So let's look at the source of the abundant life. Where is the source of this abundant life? In verses 11 and in verses 14 and 15, we see that Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. Look back in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Then when you see this repeated again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And immediately we know that Jesus is the source of the abundant life. But there's more to it. See, Jesus is not only the source of the abundant life and the reason why he came that first Christmas, but the reason what we also see is that the abundant life comes from someone who knows me. The abundant life comes from someone who knows his sheep and knows them intimately. Look back at verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own. He knows me. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. He knows the things that I do well. And he knows the things I struggle with. He knows my likes and my dislikes. He knows everything about me. In fact, the knowledge of him to his sheep, it parallels that of the knowledge of the Father to the Son. Because when you continue to read this passage, it says, just as the Father, what is that word? Knows me, I know the Father. In that two verses, the word know is repeated three times. He knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows us comprehensively. He knows us as close as he knows his own Father, God the Father. That is so encouraging that the source of abundant life knows me. But it's a little scary too, isn't it? Because it doesn't say, oh, I know Adam, and when he got himself together, oh, then I gave him abundant life. No, he knows me, and he knows I need abundant life because I was lost and I was messed up. I need him to know me. He knows you. He knows whatever you're going through, whatever you walked into this building with, and whatever you're going to walk out of this building with, he knows everything about you. But see, the abundant life, as wonderful as that sounds, it does come with a cost. We always want, oh, I've come to give life and life more abundant. And that's true. It's right there in verse 10. But we don't talk about the cost of the abundant life. The source of the abundant life is Jesus. And it comes from someone who knows me, but it also comes from someone who paid the cost for me. Go back to verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And what does the next phrase say? And I lay down my life for the sheep. See, Jesus came, and we've said this before, but Jesus came to die. The reason why we celebrate Christmas and the reason why we celebrate the abundant life, the reason why we have a good shepherd is we have a shepherd who laid his life down for mine. This points to the cross. It points us to the death and the sacrifice of Jesus to appease the wrath of an almighty Father. It points us to say, oh, he was willing to pay the price that I could not pay on my own. He was willing to pay the price for my sin because he knew me and he knew I had sin. This is the kind of love that we see a shepherd is. He is a shepherd that not only knows you, but he gave his life for you. The abundant life that the good shepherd was born to provide was to provide so that we might live. Oh yes, the wages of sin is death. And Jesus, our good shepherd, paid the price of death upon a cross for you and for me. But it doesn't stop there. Yes, the source of the abundant life is the good shepherd, Jesus. It is the good shepherd who knows us. It is the good shepherd who died for us and he paid the cost for us. But this points ultimately to the resurrection. It points to the gospel. Go back to verses 17 and 18. For this reason, what? For this reason, the reason I laid down my life, the reason I know my sheep, for this reason the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life, don't miss these. This little phrase is going to be repeated twice. That I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. And here it is. I have authority to lay it, to take it up again. See, the source of the good shepherd, the source of the abundant life is not only looking at the Savior who paid the cost for my sin, but he also points to the resurrection because he conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He can conquer whatever you have and whatever you came into this room with carrying, he can conquer. This is something that he and the Father were in unison with. They were in one accord with. The Father charged him to do this. He was sent on a mission by God the Father to fulfill this. Jesus came that first Christmas under the orders, under the charge of the Father to do a great work and to be the shepherd, to give his life, but also to see victory on that third day. This is the foundation of our abundant life. See, the abundant life is not found in the presents we got around the tree. The abundant life is not found around the dinner tables where we probably ate too much. The abundant life is not found in a church that even worships, and what a great worship time that we had in gathering together today. But the abundant life comes from Jesus, our good shepherd. We have sang this Christmas season, oh, come, Emmanuel. We have sang, oh, come, let us adore him. We even see the wise men say, oh, let us come so that we can worship him. And what Jesus is saying, hey, I came as your good shepherd so that you can come to me. He's begging us as the source of the abundant life. He lays it all before him. All before us. Those mild, ugly, smelly shepherds, that's you and me. That's you and me. And he's pointing us to the star. He's pointing us to the shepherd. Okay, if Jesus is the source of my abundant life, then what is the character of abundant life? What does abundant life look like? What does it look like? If you back up just a few verses, and I began in verse 9, it will give us three definitions of what this abundant life looks like. Let me read that verse again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. See, the first characteristics of the abundant life is that the abundant life offers salvation. In fact, really what I should say is the abundant life equals salvation. Salvation is comprehensive of everything that entails the abundant life. If you are not saved, you do not have life. You're merely existing and going through the motions. But if you have come, and what does the verse says? If anyone desires to come to me, if anyone enters in this, they have this life. And it says he will be saved. It's emphatic. It's not questionable. It's, oh, you will be. It doesn't say you might be. You will be. But you have to come to Jesus. Salvation. Has there been a point in time in your life where you have bent the knee, you have bowed the heart, and you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and say, Lord, I need you. I need your salvation. If not, you don't know this life. You don't know the abundant life that he offers. It would be like going to one of your Christmas banquets that you have, and you have to say banquets because in our household, it's like there's food everywhere. You get a plate and it's mounded over with all of your favorites, and you sit down and your mouth is watering and you're just ready to dig in, and you stick the fork in and you take a bite and it just turns to ash in your mouth. You can't taste it. That is life without Jesus. You are simply going through the motions. You see all that the Savior has to offer. You see all that this world has to offer, and it turns into ash. It turns into nothing. And what Jesus is saying is, oh, the characteristic of the abundant life is salvation. Are you saved? But the second characteristic of the abundant life is not only salvation, but it's security. He will be saved, and then why does it describe the sheep? He will be able to go in and out of the pasture. He'll be able to go in and out of the gate. Why? Because he knows he's safe. He knows he can go into the world. He can go into there, and he has a shepherd that will watch over him and protect him. He knows he has someone that will feel to push off the enemies, push off those intruders, push off those that may come to steal, kill, and destroy. We have the freedom in our salvation to follow him, and coming in and out of the gate provides us a set of security. It provides us a set of safety. It provides us someone that says, I have someone who's going to watch over me. Now I have to put a pause here. Does that mean it's always going to be easy? No. In fact, one of the lessons that the shepherd learns is when the shepherd sees one of his sheep run away. We see the beautiful little picture sometimes of a shepherd carrying that little lamb across his shoulders back to the fold, right? He left the 99 to go get the one, and he carries that one back on his shoulders. Can I tell you what the picture is? That shepherd went to find that sheep, and he bends down and he breaks the leg of that sheep to take it back, to teach it a lesson so that it won't wander off again. Oh, they're going to remember that. He's not promising that an easy life. He's not promising a safe life. He's not promising us a life that is full of ease of pain and suffering, but he is promising an abundant life, and an abundant life that is safe and secure because he watches over us. All of his sheep will come safely home. All of his sheep that are saved get to see him face to face one day. He will make sure that none of them perish. It's a beautiful picture of I know that no matter what I'm going through, that I have Jesus watching over me safely and securely. The characteristics of the abundant life is not only salvation, not only safety or security, but satisfaction. Look at the last two words of this verse. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out. And then what it says, and he will find pasture. Find pasture. He will find a place and someone that will meet all of his needs. This world will not meet your needs, but Jesus will. will find someone where he will be satisfied. Does this not echo of David's own psalm of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Is it personal? And I shall not want. Why shall you not want? Because he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Oh yes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. He who began a good work in you, he will make sure that it comes to completion. Jesus was not born, did not die and raise again so that you can have an okay life, a stellar life, a religious life. No, Jesus came so that you can have an abundant life. He came so that you can have a comprehensive life. You don't know life until you have Jesus. Are we finding our satisfaction too often in this world and not enough in Jesus? If so, then we have traded the abundant life for something that's false. And you guys, we're all guilty of it, me included. I'm guilty of too often of trading a temporary joy from this world as opposed to the abundant life that Jesus has for me. Jesus, as we sing the old hymn, is begging his sheep, begging us this morning, this New Year's Eve, to say, hey, will you look at the glory and grace and let the things of this world grow strangely dim? For there you will find life and life more abundant. Does this life, I have to pause and ask a question, because does this life describe you? Do you experience, have you one come to the source of your life, which is Jesus, but does that life describe you? Can you point to a time in your life where you were saved? Can you say that you're going through this life, not without bumps and bruises, but you know that your eternal destiny is secure and safe, and you, no matter what Satan throws at me, I am safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. And not only that is, have you experienced the satisfaction? Have you gone to the pastures of Jesus and fed with him and dined with him and drank with him? Oh, Jesus can make you, he says, come to me, all who are thirsty, and you will thirst no more. Why? Because he gives them to the pasture. He takes you to the pasture and he satisfies your deepest longing. He satisfies that which the world cannot satisfy. Only Jesus can. To have Jesus is to have the abundant life that he gives. To have Jesus is to have our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts unstopped by this world. It makes the taste come alive, and now all of a sudden we sit at the banquet feast of the table of Jesus. You see, the source of the abundant life is the Good Shepherd. It points us to someone who knows me, who died for me and rose again for me so that I might have life. The characteristic of this abundant life is salvation, security, and satisfaction. But I would be amiss this morning if I did not point you to the way to this abundant life. The way of abundant life. Look at verses 3 and 4. The sheep hear his voice and call his own sheep by name, leading them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they hear his voice. The way to abundant life is to heed the call of Jesus. The way to abundant life is to follow him. All who hear his voice, they come to him. You see, when we go back to the shepherds, The shepherds left the warmth of their campfire to go to Jesus. They left maybe a good night's sleep to go to Jesus. They left their occupation and their business to go to Jesus. They left everything, their reputation, their thoughts of what other people might even think, and walked into town because of the one. Can I say it this way? The shepherds in the Christmas story left the 99 to go seek the one because the one was so important. The shepherds point us to the abundant life, don't they? The shepherds are saying, hey, we need to lay everything down and follow the one. What did you bring in this morning? What is keeping you from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus is offering? The way to him is he's saying, hey, Adam, hey, Christian, come back to me. And he's saying, if you will hear my voice and obey my voice, I will give you the abundant life. For some of you, you may have never come to Jesus. And the way to abundant life is for you to come to him maybe for the first time. What a great way to start a 2024 year is to say, I'm going to start with Jesus and I want the abundant life and I want it now. The Gettys have a Christmas album. On that it says, in the song it says, O children, come. The verse says this, it says, bring your troubles, bring your fears, bring the needs that draw you near. Find the hope of all your years. Oh, children, come. Lay down all your bitterness, turn from sin's toil and distress. Find his grace and perfect rest. Oh, children, come. Will you come to Jesus? I want everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes for a moment. We're going to go into a time of invitation. We're going to have pastors here at the front. We're going to have a pastor in the balcony. Cody and the others are going to lead us in a song of invitation. And the invitation is simple. Come. The good shepherd came so that we might come to him. You may need to come this morning and pray. Take one of our pastors by the hand and just pray. Say, I've been struggling with something and I've not experienced this life that I need to. Take them, let them pray with you. You may be coming and maybe for the first time heard the voice of Christ. And he's like, I need to not just be going through the motions, but I need life. And you may have been attending Whitesburg for some time now, and maybe your answer is for you to come to Whitesburg and join this family. But whatever it is, will you come to him today? Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you are the source of abundant life. We thank you that you and you alone provide salvation. Lord, I pray that as we have this time of invitation, that, Lord, we will come to you. We will come to you with hearts that are open, with arms that are open wide. Lord, we will run and come to you because we want life and life more abundant. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.